this morning to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 13. I was really planning to go a different direction this morning, and before I got up this morning, just laying there in the bed, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about going in a different direction this morning, and I certainly want to try to be obedient to the Lord on that. He knows best. I don't know half the time. I don't know. Sometimes it's easy to know the will of God, and sometimes it's difficult to know the will of the Lord. And sometimes you think you got it, and you know what God's doing, and then the next thing you know, He's a changing direction on you. And I want to be able to have discernment enough to go with what God's wanting us to say this morning. And so I just want to share with, and I've preached from this passage before, but I want to come at it from maybe a little different emphasis if we could. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 5. We'll look at verse number 5 and 6, mainly verse number 5. We'll just read verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? Let's bow for a moment of prayer and you can be seated. Father, we thank you again for the reading of your holy, inspired word. Lord, I know this morning that if you should mark iniquity, none of us in this building would stand. And Lord, I thank you that you, Lord, do not deal with us after our sin, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Lord, I thank you today, Lord, for the opportunity and God-given privilege to be in church today. Thank you for the physical health and strength and the want to come to church. Lord, that happened, Father, when you saved me. A desire to meet with your people, a desire to hear the word of God. A desire, Lord, to get in on spiritual things. And Lord, I thank you, Father, 32 years later, it's still that way. And I thank you today that, yes, you got a hold of me 32 years ago. Lord, I thank you for that. But you've still got a hold of me today, and I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me also for the times of disobedience and distance and, Lord, disinterest that I've had, Lord, listening to the Spirit of God. I'm sorry for that. I ask you to forgive me. Help me today, Lord. Help us all. If we didn't need no help, we wouldn't be in church today. We wouldn't need church. We wouldn't need preaching. We wouldn't need the Spirit of God to help us today. But, Lord, I'd be the first to say, Lord, I need you today. I need a word from you. I need you to help me today. I need you to strengthen me today. I need you to speak to me today and to speak through me today. Your will be done, Father. Bring to my attention, Lord, the things, God, that I need to see and say. And, Lord, I'll be careful to give you the thanks that you deserve. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read the verse again. The Bible said, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith, prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Of course, the word reprobate, another good word for that would be a counterfeit. Thorough examination given to the local church would discover and reveal the counterfeits. If you can't prove it, then you're not real. If you profess it and you can't prove it, then you better go off of the proof. Because my mom always said, and her grandma said, and I've heard a lot of people say, the proof's in the pudding. Amen. If you don't have any evidence, you have no case. Go into any court of law and try to prove a case without evidence, they'll laugh you plumb out of the county. Amen. But I believe if you're saved, there's evidence. And the Lord just revived something in my heart about this passage of Scripture. I know you're thinking that we may build the message on the three major words mentioned here: examine, prove, and know. And those words are powerful words. Those all are in the active voice, meaning the subject is the doer of the action. When he says, examine yourself, you do it. In fact, the emphasis is there. Examine yourself. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves. Amen. It don't matter if I think you're saved. It don't matter if I think you're lost. You can't do business with God. I said you can't do business with God on what I think. Amen. I'd be getting some saved that maybe's already saved. I'd probably be telling God they're saved when they're not, so I don't know. Amen. And eternity's too long to be wrong about the matter. So when Paul, writing to a local body of professing believers, he says, examine yourselves. Now why would Paul say that? Why would such a verse be given to a local church? I think it's very easy to note that. I believe Paul suspected that inside the church of Corinth was some people that professed but did not possess. I believe that Paul was under the impression of the Spirit of God that there were some people there on the membership roll that weren't saved. Their name was on a dusty church roll, but their name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. And a thorough examination is necessary to prove that. Amen. So examine yourselves. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. What? How that Christ Jesus is in you. That's not what I want to preach on this morning. There's another word that leaped off the page at me, and God stirred my heart with it this morning. And it's found twice in this verse. And I'm telling you, it is a small spelled word, but it is a big word because eternity hinges upon it. Now, let me read the verse and I will try to emphasize the two times that it is mentioned, and we'll try to share what God has laid upon our hearts this morning. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you. I don't know if I emphasized it clear enough to where you could see the word that I'm looking at is the word in. The word in. I mean, truthfully, you look at it just from a country boy perspective. If you're not in, you're out. I mean, if you're not in, you're out. Amen. If you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. There's nobody in between. But I want to look at those two usages of the word in this passage of Scripture. The first time that it is used, it's talking about what you're in. The second time it's used, it's talking about who is in you. And so both of those are proof that you possess salvation. So I just want to preach on the twofold proof of salvation this morning. A twofold proof of salvation. And again, if you can't prove it, and you ought to want to prove it, and you shouldn't have to look too hard to find plenty of proof and plenty of evidence that you are in fact a child of God. I believe we're going to be surprised in two great ways when we get to heaven. We're probably going to be surprised at who really's there that we thought wasn't going to be. Amen. And then we're probably going to be surprised at who we thought was going to be are nowhere to be found. And the deciding factor is one thing and one thing only. It's not whether you're a good person. It's not whether you belong to RBT or any other church. It doesn't matter about that. I want to tell you what matters is, one, what are you in and who is in you? That's what I want to look at this morning. So number one, the first thing, the first proof of a person being saved is ye be in the faith. Whether ye be in the faith. And that word be in means to be or to belong to. The word be in identifies a realm, a sphere, a domain. When you get saved, you can know you're saved. Hello. Because God puts you, well, amen, come on now. God takes you out of a domain and He puts you in to a new domain. He takes you out of one sphere and He puts you into another sphere. He takes you out of one realm and He puts you in to another realm. Amen. Oh, I know I'm saved because my sphere that I'm in since salvation is quite different than the sphere I was in before salvation. Oh, come on. I'm feeling a witness on that. Amen. That's right. Thank God. He takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and puts us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Amen. If you're not in the kingdom of His dear Son, then you're still in the kingdom of darkness. Amen. Your sphere, your realm, the domain you live in, your world. Amen. I think the songwriter had it right. I'm in a new world since the Lord saved me. Amen. If I could remember that, I'd cut loose, sing a lick or two on it. Amen. Some of you said, no, preacher, just keep preaching. Don't worry about the singing aspect. But I am. I'm in a new world, thank God, since the Lord saved me. Well, glory. Amen. I'm in the faith. You are in the faith if you're saved. It's not just that faith is in you, but you're in the faith. You're in that realm. You're in that world. You're in that sphere. You're in that domain. Amen. Amen. That's right. Salvation is more than what you profess and claim. Salvation deals with where you're living. Where you're living. What sphere you're living in. Amen. Let me just illustrate it this way. Some of you still don't know what to have a clue what I'm talking about. You're in RBT Church this morning. Is that not right? I'm going to use the same word, in. You're in the church this morning. What does that entail? What does that suggest? What does that mean? That means you're enclosed in this building. That means that everywhere you look, you're surrounded by RBT. You're in the building. You're in the church. Amen. And that also means that you're not in the world out there that's outside the church. So when it says, Brother Long, that we're in the faith, that means that God has brought us into a divine spiritual enclosure, a divine spiritual house, building, if you will. Now that may sound elementary, but I'm telling you, folk, there are a lot of people sitting in churches across America and around the world today. They claim to be saved, and they're no more in the realm of the faith than a man in the moon. Amen. That's right, isn't it? And your domain speaks a lot of your nature. Fish live in the water. I can live in the water. Why? That's not my domain. I don't have a nature that's conducive to that. Amen. But now, likewise, a fish can't live in my domain. Amen. A fish comes into my domain, they get eat. Amen. That's right. They're going on the plate. They're getting in the skillet. Amen. Amen. That's right. Listen, hey, a squirrel lives in the trees. Worms live in the ground. Amen. Your sphere of dwelling is determined by your nature. Amen. And if you got the new nature, the divine nature of God, I want to ask all of us in this building, is our sphere, is our spiritual dwelling domain, is it divine, is it spiritual, or is it still carnal and worldly? I believe if some will listen to the Holy Ghost this morning, I believe God's going to show some people that you ain't got what it takes. Amen. Brother Critchco, I wouldn't want to die with what some in this building's got. I wouldn't want to die, draw my last breath with what you got. I wouldn't want to do that. Amen. Be in the faith. Amen. Be in the faith. Another good example of that was Noah was in the ark. Now Noah's ark, as well as Noah, but Tom was in this whole world. I mean, they were in this world, but they was in a whole nother sphere. They were in a whole nother sphere, a whole nother realm of dwelling. Amen. The atmosphere was this different. Amen. They were in the ark. Amen. So the first proof, I'm just going very, very basic this morning. Sometimes I go deep and come up dry. I have a problem with that sometimes, but I don't want to lose you. I just want to leave you with that one thought on that first point, that if you're saved, you are in the faith, and you need to examine yourself to see if that is so. Amen. That word examination is used in the judicial system as to examine a case, to look and look at the evidence and investigate the evidence and lay the evidence out before the jury and the judge to prove guilty or not guilty. We've said it so many times, I'm afraid that it's old to us, but if you were accused and arrested for being a Christian, could an investigator, could a private eye look in your life privately and publicly and find proof and evidence that would convict you of being a Christian in the court of law? Or would there be enough evidence to prove otherwise? Huh? Be in the faith. I'm telling you, I know I'm saved this morning because of the sphere that salvation put me in. It put me in. That's why, Brother Craddock, that's why I don't have a desire to go back to the honky-tonks. That's not my sphere no more. Come on, Preacher Rackman, preach a little bit, amen? That's not my sphere no more. It used to be. Oh, it was like water to fish. I mean, that was that natural. Amen. I mean, that was my air. That was my crowd. That was my, amen. That's what I want. Why? That was my nature. My nature said, that's what you want, that's what you like. And I chose that. Amen. God's people? No. Church? Amen. I went because I had to. I mean, it was a law at the house. Amen. And I didn't like it then, but I'm sure thankful now. Lord only knows if I'd had moms and dads like many do today that could care less about their children, where they are and who they're running with, and let them spend the night with God only knows who. Amen. And I found out a long time ago, kids can lie. I did it. Tell mom and dad I'm staying over at so-and-so's house. They took it, hook, line, and sinker. Never even darkened the door of so-and-so's house. Amen. Amen. Here's you something that'll help you. Parents, you cannot ever trust your children's hormones. Hello. You cannot trust their flesh. Amen. Old parents might already say right, amen right there. Nod your head. Well, no, not junior. Not little sissy. They've got halo. No, no, no. They've got a wicked nature in them, and their sphere and their realm and their domain from the time they draw their first breath is a sin-loving nature. And brother, they will do everything under the sun that they know they can get by with. Oh, but I trust her. I trust him. It don't matter. Listen, friend. Children will lie to you. And if they're not saved, you better not trust them as far as you can throw them. Am I getting a witness there or not? You better not trust them if they're not saved. Well, preacher, they're moral. In front of you, they might be. But when they get alone, friend, amen, the devil made his move on Eve when he got her alone. Amen. That boy that tries to get that girl by yourself, out of the eye, away from the eye of mom and dad, that's a wicked missile sent from the devil into your home to destroy your child. Amen. You can like that or not. Amen. That's the truth. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, you know you're saved this morning by the realm, by the sphere that you've been put into when you got saved. Hallelujah. That crowd that can't stay off a bar stool, can't stay out of the gyp joint, amen. They can't stay out of that, save their life. I tell you what they need. They don't need reformation, Brother Jackie. They need regeneration. They need to be born again. Yeah. If you still like it, then that's the nature you have. Amen. God's people can get out of fellowship with God. We all have. Nod your head like that. I'm talking about true saved people. We've been out of the will of God. We've been cold before. Amen. We've been distant before. I want to tell you this is true for all of us. We were miserable when we were like that. If that crowd, that sphere, and that domain, and that realm is where you go, and you get great delight in it, and there's no misery, and there's no conviction, and there's no guilt, you are not saved. Amen. We can know, friend, that we're saved by the fact that we are in the faith. I like that word be. I done told you what it meant once, but I'm going to tell it again. It means to belong to. Whether you be in the faith, whether you belong to the faith, the realm of faith, the mindset of faith, the love of faith, the attitude of faith, everything that God, faith hooks you up with, that's your realm now. Isn't it sad, Brother Long? Isn't it sad that you see people come to the altar to get saved, or they claim to get saved, Brother Tom, somewhere else. And you can't hardly get excited about it because you don't even know if they'll even come back to church again. Something's wrong with that. Amen. That's right. I'm telling you, I believe in the power of the gospel, that the power of God can set you free from the law of sin and death. God can set you free. Amen. He can set you free from addictions. Amen. He can set you free. Listen, the things, the addictions of the flesh does not appeal to the spirit. You get that? The addictions of the flesh does not appeal to the Spirit of God. That new realm you're in because of salvation, that realm of faith, that realm of the spiritual, the realm of the divine, it don't want to go get drunk. It don't want to fornicate, commit adultery, and pop pills. And it don't want to do none of that. No. No. I say, first of all, this morning, you know you say because that the sphere that you've been put into at salvation, in the faith. And then secondly and last, y'all like these two-point messages, don't you? I started to say two-point poems. I hope it's more than a poem. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. Here comes our second point. How that Jesus Christ is in you. I know I'm saved because of what salvation put me into. It put me into a new realm, a new life, a new Lord, a new desire. Amen. And amen.
And sometimes, come on now, can I get a witness right here? Sometimes as believers, maybe we'll go on vacation or whatever, and we're in some places or around some people that's not necessarily what we are. I want to ask you, how do you feel about that? I don't believe God's people ought to quit living and quit going on vacation. There's sinners at Walmart, but I'm going to keep going to Walmart. Amen. Hello. But I'm talking about, how do you feel when you're in there around their domain, their sphere, their realm? I tell you how I feel. I feel like a square peg in a round hole. You talking about a misfit? Yeah. Why? And you know what? That makes me want to jump and shout and dance about, is because I know afresh and new there's some more evidence that I've been born again, because that place and those people that I once fit in with, that crowd used to be my crowd, that used to be my craving, that used to be my course and conduct. Now I don't fit. I'm a misfit. Why? Why did I learn better? No. I got a new nature in me that don't fit in with that. I'm in the faith, praise God. Number two, if I can ever get down there to it. I can't read that, or I'll preach some more on that first one. This, hey man, it's sort of like a two-sided coin. If you have a coin that's just one side, it's got the head and date and all the details on one side, but the other side's blank, it's no good. Point number one is one side, and point number two is the other side. If you can't examine that and prove that, then the Bible said that you're a reprobate, you're a counterfeit. In fact, in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 30, the word reprobate is used in relation to silver. Reprobate silver is what it's used in that verse. In other words, it may look like silver. You may think it's silver. It may even have the title silver. But when you examine it and it don't pass the test, it's not silver. It's reprobate silver. It's counterfeit. It's not real. Let me give you this other one before y'all quit on me. Number two, not only I know I'm saved because of the sphere that I've been put into in salvation. But I also, number two, I know that I'm saved, Brother Krutschko, because of the Savior that's been put into me. Woo! It's not just what I've been put into, but it's who has been put into me. Thank God I know that I'm saved because of the sphere that I live in. But I also know that I'm saved because of the Savior that's inside of me. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. I feel something on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. And if Christ is in you, you'll know it. Amen. You might have to perform a thorough, intense examination to discover it. Amen. But He's in there. If He's in there, He's detectable. Hey, if He's in there, He's not dormant. If He's in there, He's not dead. If He's in there, He's alive. Bless the Lord. Amen. Whew, son. Christ in you. Paul used the word in Colossians 1:27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hey, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know what that means? If Christ is not in you, you have no hope of glory. Is Christ in you? Is Christ in you? We know we're saved because of the sphere that salvation puts us into. And we live in another domain. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Amen. We're living in this world, but we're not living off of it. Amen. Just like the children of Israel. Come on now, I'm going to have to preach another lick on that. Sure as a world. Just like the children of Israel, Brother Tom, they come out of Egypt where the spear was whatever you want, whatever you like, and whatever you need, there it is. And God led them out of that into a sphere where there was nothing to supply except God. Hey, and they did just fine. They didn't starve. They didn't starve, even though they didn't have the leeks and onions and garlics and the melons of Egypt. They didn't starve. Why? They was feeding off of another supply line. Hey. Instead of Egypt, they're now feeding at the hand of God, manna from heaven. Amen. Hey, I'm about to get excited this morning. Christ in you. Do you have, listen, folk, I'm not your judge. If you go to heaven or hell, neither one, I'm not your judge. But I'm telling you, God has give us a Bible. God has given us a Bible that reveals to us that we can in fact know that we are saved. And there's proof and evidence all through it. 1 John is filled with it. But I'm not dealing with the several. I'm dealing with two main key proofs. I know I'm saved. I know I'm not a reprobate. I know I'm not a counterfeit. I know I'm not fake and phony because of the sphere that God has put me in. Glory to God, I can't get off that first point. I mean, every time I get close to it, I see more. I don't know if y'all seeing anything or not, but I'm seeing more. Amen. Hey, I want you to know, just for the record, it's on tape. I want you to know for the record, for 32 years, Preacher Rackley has been in a different sphere, and I am not starving, and I am not dissatisfied. I am not miserable. I'm telling you, God can take care of His children. God is my sustenance. He is my sufficiency. He is my satisfaction. Glory! A child of God doesn't need fistfuls of the world to try to smile a little bit. Oh no! We are, as God's people, are in another sphere. And also we have the Savior that's in us. That's the second proof. Christ in you. No, you know that Christ is in you. A little girl, I thought this was very good. A little girl who was on her way home with her mom from church. She turned to her mother and said, "Mama, the preacher's sermon this morning confused me." And the mother said, "Oh, why is that?" The girl replied, "Well, he said that God is bigger than we are. Is that true, Mom?" And of course the mother said, "Yes, that's true." And the girl went on to say, "He also said that God lives within us." Y'all see where that's going on. "He also said that God lives within us. Is that true also?" And the mother replied, "Yes." And the little mind of that little girl said, "Well, if God is bigger than we are, and He lives inside of us, wouldn't He be showing through?" Isn't it amazing? The God of heaven is so large. The Bible said heaven's His throne and the earth's His footstool. And He measures the heavens with a span. Just the tip of tip, from His thumb to His little finger span, the Milky Way that would take thousands and thousands of light years to cross it. God said, "Yeah, it's about that far. I've got that big come and dwell inside of every believer. I want to tell you, He's going to bump around in there. He's going to be so big, He'll squeeze out the cracks, amen, and He'll break through. He'll show through." Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem seeing the Adamic nature of people in the world. It shows through. The first Adam is in them. The first Adam is in them. I don't have any problem seeing that. It's evident. It's evident by how they talk. It's evident places they go, people they run around with, and all that, you know, that I preach all the time. I mean, you can see it. But inside church, there are people. There are people that claim to be saved, have God living in them. And I declare, I can't see it to save my life in some of them. And I'm not talking about just an acquaintance. I'm not talking about just, you know, how are you doing and going on. I'm talking about folk I've preached to for years. I'm talking about folk I've preached to for years. Brother Crutchcoat's pastored longer probably than I've been alive. And I'm telling you, am I not right? Church are full of people that profess to be saved. And there's no proof of it. No evidence of it. You're judging me, preacher. You're judging. No, get off that kick, would you? You don't have a leg to stand on with that. Wherefore by their fruits, Jesus said that. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. If there's no fruit, there's no root. Amen. The fruit reveals the tree. You can't argue with an apple tree. You can argue, you pass out, write 10 books. Amen. Cause a debate and split the world over it's the fact that it's not an apple tree. But if it's hanging full of apples, you'll never get to first base. Amen. We are having a time. Amen. I'm telling you, I know that I'm saved this morning because of the sphere that salvation put me into. I know I'm saved because of the Savior that salvation put into me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And if He's in you, friend, you better be looking to find some evidence of it. He came into this world. He came into this world. And there's proof of it. Evidence of it. The Bible confirms it. The Holy Spirit witnesses it. Amen. And if He's in you, there'll be evidence. And here's the thing. It's not my job. It's not my responsibility to examine you in that regard. It's your business. If you miss heaven, it will not be my fault. If you miss heaven, it'll be your fault. You've got to examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Christ Jesus is in you. So you can be all around where Christ is, the preaching of Christ, the singing of the songs about Christ, and still not be in, still not be saved. Well, I made a little dime store profession back years ago. Listen, I believe you can get saved as a child. In fact, I believe that's the will of God. Get saved as a child. You got saved at 6? Praise God. That's wonderful. I wish I'd have got saved at 6. That's the will of God. You get saved early as possible. First time God deals with you, you ought to get saved. But I still believe this, Brother Long. I still believe it now. And I know there's time for the growth. I know there's a growth space there that's necessary, Miss June. But I believe that if a kid gets saved at home, if a kid gets saved at Bible school, the same Holy Ghost is in them that got in me the night I got saved at the age of 20. He will produce the same thing in them as He produced in me. People claim to be saved and they go right on living in sin, wickedness and ungodliness, and have no spiritual desires about them. I don't see where that's produced of the Holy Spirit. So there you are. This very basic, very simple. Right there you are. Two-fold proof of salvation. The sphere that salvation puts you into in the faith, and the Savior that salvation puts in you. Do you realize that when you get saved, you get the Spirit of Christ in you? Romans 8:9, if any man, that crosses all racial, national, and religious barriers. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Amen. Isn't that pretty plain? You not have the Holy Spirit in you, working in you, working on you. Amen. I remember, Brother Chuck, vividly when I got saved, the Holy Spirit of God began to deal with me about stuff that I'd never even heard preached against. I knew immediately. I'm talking about I knew immediately that my music I was listening to, that I had my truck filled with, I knew immediately that that wasn't right. I knew immediately. Amen. And I didn't sell them at a yard sale for a quarter to give my sin to somebody else. I destroyed them. Amen. They're in some landfill somewhere. Amen. It's amazing. God will convict people of something and they'll sell it. Well, it's wrong. I'm getting rid of it. Lord, deal with me. And then you sell it to somebody else. Something's wrong with that. Amen. That's right. You wouldn't sell your booze to somebody else. Pour the stuff out. There's a fellow down in South Carolina, Brother Joe Brackens. I think he may have been here, visited one time on vacation or something. But anyway, I preached for him. And he used to be back in those days before he got saved, all the beer places was closed on Sunday. So if you bought beer, booze and stuff, you had to go to somebody that kind of had bought some in advance and had it at their house. Well, his house was it. And I mean, he's a rough customer. You ought to hear his testimony. In fact, I think that's right. There was the one that sat on the platform and gave their testimony. And when all of his customers came on Sunday, the Sunday after he got saved, they come to get more booze. And he didn't sell it. Amen. He poured it out. Right. Amen. He poured it out. Oh, I'm glad that salvation will change you, praise God. It'll change you. The sphere you go into in salvation and the Savior that comes in when He saves you. Let's all stand to our feet.